Just a quick word from our affiliates before we jump into the episode. SafePoint Loan Working App is a really simple way for you to manage loan working. Utilizing WAP-free words to get you pinpoint accuracy on the location of your people when you really need it. Get yourself a discount using the link and code in the description of this episode. Let's jump into today's podcast. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Excuse my printer. Sometimes it just has little moments where it just starts freaking out and it just doesn't stop freaking out. Shut up.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent and your host, James McPherson. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Rebranding Safety does exactly what it says on the tin. We're here to challenge those health and safety gone mad practices and change the perception of health and safety. Now, something slightly different this week and for the next couple of weeks. Because of everything that's going on, all this COVID stuff, etc., we've basically paused all of our content that was due to come up. And what we're doing is just doing a little mini panel for about 30 to 40 minutes once a week with myself as a host, David McLean, as you know well, kind of bringing that mental health expertise, but also his phenomenal experience from the Marines as well. Jonathan Dempsey, who you know has been on the podcast as well, from a business perspective as freshly starting Red Lace Consultancy, but also kind of reams and reams of kind of food safety management, health and safety management, risk management, the lot. And then Christian Harris as well, coming from Slip Safety Services, but also Decontamination UK, Cleaden. So he's going to bring that kind of also from a business owner perspective, but also that kind of cleanliness, hygiene point of view as well. And I think what we can do in this panel is just provide opinions and conversations that hopefully keep you engaged, keep you entertained, but also help you out if you're in this kind of horrible time of trying to manage your business, manage your team, run a business yourself, or you're a manager within a large business. Hopefully we'll be able to help you. So today we're going to cover just a kind of general overview of what it's like kind of managing a business, going through this process, listening to the government guidance, etc., etc. But before we get into that, I just want to stress, absolutely stress, that this is just a conversation in this podcast and the future ones as well. And I'll say this every week, this is just a conversation. What we say in here is just our opinions and our conversations. Do not take what we say as for gospel. Check the government guidance. And just to reiterate what the government guidance currently is that you should only leave your house for one of four reasons. Shopping for basic necessities, for example, food, medicine, which must be as infrequent as possible. One form of exercise a day, for example, run, walk or cycle, alone or with members of your household. For any medical needs or provide care or help to a vulnerable person. Travelling to and from work, but only where it's absolutely cannot be done from home. These four reasons are exceptions. Even when doing these activities, you should be minimizing the time spent outside of your home and ensuring 2 meters apart from everyone outside your household. Within the show notes, within the description of this video, of this podcast, there will be all the links to the government guidance and NHS webpage as well in the links to the description, so you can get everything you need to know right down in the description now. If you haven't checked that stuff out, just stop listening. I don't care about the ratings or review, just go and check that stuff out. Right, if you like what these guys are saying in this podcast, you can also check out them. Their links are in the description below. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover a few things. So like I said, in this episode we're going to talk about, you know, our business is left in the shit, how do they manage this, and some kind of useful conversations and tips for general managing of a business or teams, etc. Next week, we're going to talk about the kind of practical management of COVID-19, of the risks, and from an overall risk management perspective. Remember, none of us in here a kind of scientist, viralist, whatever you would call these really intelligent people. We are just risk managers and risk professionals, and within myself and Jonathan, and cleanliness experts in Christian, and kind of mental health expert within David. These are just our opinions. Then the following week, we're going to talk about mental health and well-being. You know, man, it is lonely. You know, I live with my wife and the dog, and still it just feels a bit lonely sometimes. So we're going to talk about that in week three, and then we're going to talk about what about all the other risks in our daily business. You know, your slips and your trips, your mental health, your stress, your fire, all of that stuff still exists whilst we're trying to deal with this pandemic as well. It's an absolute nightmare to be a safety professional, a manager, a business leader, project manager, a business manager, whatever you are. This is a nightmare time. In this episode, these episodes are just here to voice concerns, to voice conversations, etc., to help you out. So we recorded this episode right now today on Friday the 27th. You'll be listening to it on Monday. From now on, we will stop putting them out on Monday and we will put them out on Fridays. The reason for this is because we're going to, in the future, record on a Thursday and put it out on a Friday. The reason for that is we want to keep the information as relevant as possible. What we don't want to do is record on a Thursday or a Friday and then put it out on the Monday and everything's changed over the weekend. So the point of this is to try and keep it as relevant for you guys as possible. Alright, I'm going to shut up waffling on now. Don't forget, this is just our opinions, just conversations. Go to the government website. I'll catch you at the end of the podcast. Let's go. Okay, sure. Welcome to the podcast, gents. So this is our first panel. So why don't we just firstly, all of you have actually been on the podcast, so everyone should know you anyway. Let's just go around, do a quick like check-in, introduce yourselves, what your business does, and then just kind of how you're doing, how you're dealing with all this, how's your family, etc. Just a little check-in. Let's go, Christian.
Hi, thanks, James. Christian Harris. I've got my main business is called Slip Safety Services. So my previous appearance on the podcast was all talking about slips, trips and falls. But we do a lot of work in helping clients to maintain safe and hygienically clean environments. And we've actually got a division of the business that's involved specifically in kind of hygiene, cleaning and disinfection and decontamination, which obviously with everything that's going on at the moment, is pretty busy. I'm currently at home with my wife and two kids, both under five, and our youngest actually is asthmatic, so we're doing our best to sort of shield him as much as we can from the virus by staying at home.
Nice, good. Jonathan?
Hi, I'm Jonathan Dempsey, I'm director of Red Laces. It's a brand new risk-based consultancy that we created in the last month or so. And previously, I came on the pod where we looked at compliance stops the conversation. That's my experience last year. I'm at home with my wife and two dogs. We don't have any children, so there's no little ones around, but we've got two little four-legged friends, which keep us active. And so this past week or so, really, we spent a lot of time, you know, running, cycling, kind of the one daily exercise. I'm really diving into social media. I listen to a lot of webinars and kind of social media content, because that really just seemed to be the game changer of the past couple of weeks. I'll talk about businesses being able to pivot and really be relevant now. So really kind of
cool, utilizing the time to upskill. David?
Yes, hi, David McLean. I've been on the podcast before, of course, as well. I own a business called DRM Group, and we help businesses and individuals with their mental health, mental well-being. So it's prevalent, it's been prevalent, as you know, well, it's always been prevalent, but particularly in businesses over the last 2, 3, 4 years. And then specifically, of course, what's going on at the moment, as people start to get a little bit more frustrated, etc., feeling the loneliness, whatever may well be going on as people are self-isolating, etc. And specifically me, I'm self-isolating. I'm on my own. I'm quite happy with that, actually, except like in the moment. I'm keeping myself busy with work, busy with own personal development, and busy with calls, Zoom, etc. calls. I'm actually quite a busy time of it, and at the moment I'm doing fine. So, yeah,
good. and everyone knows me, hopefully. So my name is Jed McPherson. From this perspective, probably a YouTuber and podcaster, even though it makes my skin crawl, call myself a YouTuber. as for personally, sitting around at home, I'm a bit bored of this now, if I'm honest. And we're like the end of week one, not even a full week. I've had enough, if I'm honest. I definitely took for granted seeing friends and family. But me and the wife get on really well, so that's a plus. The dog's all right. But yeah, I need to get out cycling more, Jonathan, the same as you. Okay, so we're going to talk about today, like about businesses in general, just kind of a general chat about you're all kind of business owners, new or into it, or it doesn't really matter. First that I want to kind of talk about is like how clear for businesses it's been to know really whether they should be working or not. So just to kind of make it clear to start off with, I didn't get it at first. I thought that pretty much all businesses other than key workers or essential services should have stopped. And I put a post on about some painters and decorators next year, and shout out to Jamie Summerland who kind of pointed me in the right direction. So essentially healthcare, social workers and the specialists and supporters of them, they should be their key workers. Education and child is key workers. Key public services, local and national governments, food and necessary goods, public safety and security, transport, utilities, communication, financial services, they're the key workers, so they carry on as normal. However, where possible, they should be working from home. Yeah. And then there's this like little caveat in there, like work carried out in people's homes, for example, like tradespeople can carry on as long as there's no symptoms of the person in the house, they're not in kind of contact with those people. Personally, I don't own a business, but I feel like there's a lot of confusion there for a lot of business owners. I don't know what you guys thought about that. I mean, JD, do you think it was clear when you kind of heard the announcement and looked into it, or do you have the same feeling?
I can certainly see the challenge that the government's had in trying to marry off very quickly the science isn't as clear as we would want it straight away, with trying to put a public policy that many people could understand, the majority. I think one of the conflicts or the challenges, lack of financial support initially, so most people probably felt that they had to go to work, and unless they were told that they couldn't, then they're kind of left. And if you're self-employed, well, you haven't necessarily got your employer questions. So I think it was, I think government and agents have done as much as they could rapidly, bearing in mind they've made decisions in minutes or hours that might normally take months or years to have taken. You think about the years we've spent on Brexit, about one tiny little thing. and the world's changed in so many ways, and that's absolutely. So I think it was relatively clear. I think it's all about people. So you then take it to your own personal situation. And I think then that's where the grey areas start to come in. And there are so many different personal situations, even across us here on here today. We've all got slight nuances. I think it is clearer now that a lot of people are being furloughed, so you do now stay at home. I think self-employed, I guess it's risk, isn't it, as well? It's, if you've got one person, tradesperson, go to one person's house where there's one small family, that's different from, you know, people going out and being surrounded by lots of people. So it's easier to keep that 2 meter rule.
I do think that's a fair point. And I think like the word essential is bandied around quite a lot. And I made kind of an interesting point with a friend of mine when we were talking about it, was, you know, everyone's work is essential to themselves, isn't it? Like what's essential mean? Like me getting paid is essential to paying the bills and keeping my house running. So essential to who was an interesting point. Christian, like as a kind of, from a business owner point of view, did you get it? Did you know I'm going to work the next day regardless? Or did you think, I don't really care, I need to go to work? Or what was your kind of thought process?
I mean, I think I echo what Jonathan says in terms of applauding the government for getting done what they have done so rapidly, because I think, you know, it's a very, very difficult situation, to say the least, and evolving by the day. So from my perspective, obviously, I'm kind of in the kind of cleaning industry, there's been a lot of talk among some of the industry associations and so on that cleaning and FM people should be classified under this kind of essential work, because obviously if a hospital isn't cleaned, then the hospital can't operate. If a data center isn't cleaned, that can't operate, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, our stance on this, we published some guidance pretty quickly, which is that we're planning to operate as much as we can business as usual in terms of our delivery of work. We've taken a few steps, for example, putting together an online estimating tool. So rather than us having to actually physically go out to look at a job and therefore, you know, take in all of those contingent risks or present those risks potentially to clients, we're able to do that online. We deliver most of our work overnight anyway, and that's kind of continuing. And we're doing obviously everything we can to enable the kind of social distancing with our teams. But I mean, our view is that we're getting calls. You know, we've had a confirmed case. We need to get our building decontaminated before we can let anyone else back in. If that's not essential, I'm not really sure what is.
Yeah, I've seen a few people kind of doing a full decontamination service and on LinkedIn and stuff like that. As much as I'm kind of going round the group and getting opinions, if people want to chime in, just chime in, gents. Just start talking, and eventually somebody will shut up. David, I think David, it's a couple of points I want to touch on with you. Firstly, kind of personally, from your point of view as a business owner, but then secondly, like, you know, how important really from I kind of this is a stressful time, and I know we're going to touch on mental health in a later panel podcast. By the way, if anyone can think of a name for this panel, then let us know, guests and people listening. But like, this is a stressful time, and we're going to cover mental health. But how important is that kind of clear communication in a process like this, in a kind of real pandemic, panicky kind of time? You know, that kind of probably pulling on your military experience as well, is that kind of clear communication of everybody knows what they must do and mustn't do. How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's vitally important, but I'm just to touch on your first point there in terms of my business. Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do is working with businesses in their business, and so obviously that's not happening at the moment. However, we do run online programs as well, generally more for the individuals, which we have, and so it's just kind of all moved online for us. It was pretty clear for me, actually, it's echoing the other two guys as well, and how good the government, I feel, have responded. But I think it's pretty clear to me what's necessary, and I was. It's quite obvious for me that I was needed to stay at home. But in terms of the communication, the clear communications, yeah, as well, your listeners, viewers don't know, but I used to be in the Marines as well. So I left the Marines to become a psychologist. So I've kind of got that background, if you like, and within the military and within anywhere. The communication is vitally important, that it's clear and that people know what they're doing. Because people, by and large, want to do the right thing. And some might, you know, tread a little bit over the line from time to time, but majority of people are good people and they want to do the right thing. But of course, did the government, it's new to them as well, and they're intelligent people, but did they know exactly what was meant to happen? Did they know exactly what was, I mean, there's no situation that's been like this for a very, very long time. So there's nothing to reference it for. And so I think they're doing well. But yeah, communications is particularly clear. Fear is one of the main things that people have. It's an evolutionary response. So fear of the unknown, of course, is one of the key areas at the moment. So clear communication at least helps to reduce that fear a little bit.
I do think that it's getting clearer by the day, you know, because obviously, that, as we said, it's so rapidly evolving, and they're clarifying and stuff. I mean, I think the initial advice, shall we say, to stay at home, what clearly wasn't being taken in by as many people as they wanted it to be. So I think that's why we had the announcement where, you know, you've got to do this and it's going to be enforced, albeit we haven't gone quite as far as some other countries, and hopefully we don't need to from the perspective of being too kind of draconian. I do think there's still some clarifications that are needed. I know we saw the further information about self-employed people. But for example, the furlough scheme, I've been hearing from people who've said, you know, my staff have kind of said, we're we're going home because they're expecting now to be paid 80% of their salary to do nothing, but actually the business is still operating. And to me anyway, I think my interpretation is correct. The furlough isn't through choice. It's actually through the scheme is designed such that it's to prevent people from being laid off that otherwise would have been laid off. So, you know, let's say in my business, for example, where we're still operating because what we do is needed right now. My guys can't turn around and say, oh, we're going to sit at home. We want to go on furlough because, you know, we wouldn't be making them redundant. If anything, we're looking to hire more people. So I think, you know, that maybe wasn't explained as well as it could have been at the time. But again, you can only do what you can do. And I think overall it's pretty clear.
From what I understand as a furlough, it's the business owner's or leader's decision to make, the same as it would be a redundancy. So you three gents,
I think it has to be agreed. But... Yeah. The business has to want to do it or agree to do it, but then the employee has to agree. But obviously in practical sense, if your boss came to you and said, we're going to make you redundant, or you can go on to furlough and get 80% of your pay, nobody's going to turn that down.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting time. I think I would kind of echo what all three of you are saying about, I've been quite impressive with how the government have managed this. And I think a lot of people seem to be saying that, regardless of whether you voted from or not, that people do seem to have solidified behind this leader, which is impressive, which I don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime from a political point of view.
I did see something, I think it was on Facebook or Twitter, saying why hasn't the Prime Minister brought that blonde buffoon with him this time, when it was Rishi Sunak doing some sort of press conference on his own.
I was quite impressed with Rishi as well, actually. But there's, and just to come and jump on the other point you said there, Christian, I think the advice is growing and becoming clearer and clearer by the day as they learn, which kind of comes into your point, David, that, you know, the government have never dealt with this before either. And it's funny you should say that, because it was last night was the first time I actually visually noticed a difference. And I was walking the dog about 5:45, which is like on my road is an extremely busy road at peak time. And I got to a crossroad, which is normally backed up until about 6:30, 7:00. And there was three cars at this, and it was creepy. Like, it was like for in that second, I was like, okay, something's changed. People are listening now.
I live in London. I'm under the London City flight path, and I can hear the Heathrow flight path. And David, I know, lives pretty much in West London under the Heathrow flight path, and it's really eerie not having aeroplanes flying over.
I bet.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a difference where you are, JD?
It's fairly quiet. I've just been out before this, on a bike just to go and get some fresh air around some country lanes, and there were more bikes and tracks than cars. They were literally one car. So that is quite strange. Yeah, it is a lot quieter.
Interesting.
I've noticed as well. I mean, where I'm is in the southwest London, but there's definitely a difference. However, it's quite funny when I'm going out for a daily run and I go through Battersea Park. There's people everywhere. It's really, really busy. It's social distancing. Everybody's doing like, everybody's either individuals or they're in couples. They look like people who are also together, if you like. So they're not just randoms meeting up for friendship, you know, type things. So everybody's doing the right thing, but there's actually quite a lot of people around. I mean, obviously, central London, you know, is a busy place. A lot of people around, but everybody is doing the right thing. Again, the vast majority of people are doing the right thing. And I'm really glad that Boris Johnson said that, in terms of, as you said, as Chris said about draconian measures, actually they're getting outside and getting some sort of fresh air, getting exercise. As you know, I can't find all the time, settle in production, and the importance of, as you said there, not interacting with people. You've got your wife, obviously, but, you know, other people are interacting and talking to people. It's tremendously important to do that for our own well-being. And if this isn't for a little while, nobody really knows, do they? Then it's important to keep that kind of, to keep yourself topped up, so to speak, I think. So yeah, it's good.
I would agree. I just went out on the dog walk this morning.
to kind of like back up what happened last night at the dog walk this morning, people are taking those 2 meter wide berths, and there was a couple walking their dog, and they obviously knew this lady who was running, and they were having a conversation, but there was like this clear 2 meter gap, and I was just like, do you know what, from I don't know about you, JD, from a kind of behavioral safety point of view, this is fascinating to just sit and watch everything that's going on. It's absolutely fascinating.
Certainly, I mean, if you put this in an organisational context, you're essentially saying you talk to 2 weeks because you've literally got a major change. There's been a little bit of coercion, there's been a little bit of some rules and some guidance, but essentially to physically see that where you are, you know, in kind of Northamptonshire, down in London, we're in Warwickshire, to see that so far, but I think the thing that's heartening, probably two things that strike me. One is that mental health was picked out quite early on, or very early on, by the government. So in all their advice and their guidance, they actually recognise the importance of mental health and well-being, about the fact that actually get out and do some exercise, get some fresh air. That was right in the sentence. I don't think five months ago or even a year ago, that would have been the case. And social media as well. One of the things a lot early on in some of these webinars this week was that in the past, I think you kind of had that parent-child or the older generation telling the younger generation what to do. In terms of this kind of distancing, through social media, there's been a lot of talk that it's been the Generation Z that have been actually telling their parents and their grandparents, this is what you need to do and why. This is important. Because I think if you, perhaps, let's say the older generation may be getting their news from the BBC or the ITV, and they might only tune in on the 6 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news, but they're hearing some news once or twice a day, a few times a week, whereas Generation Z and probably many of us here we're on social media, so we're getting this by the minute. So even the space of half a day, we've learned so much and we can see why it's important. We've got that international context as well. And again, I think a lot of sort of parents, grandparents, whatever, are slowly getting the message, but even they are changing very, very quickly. But this is still all happening in 2 weeks in this country. So it's revolutionary. I think it will have game-changing implications for the future of our economy. People are not going to go back to just sitting in offices, just have, you know, will rush hour ever be this? Will we go back to having a rush hour?
It's interesting. I was talking to a gentleman this morning from a very digitally kind of business that could quite easily do it from home, but he said, you know, before this, working from home was like blasphemy in our office, and now everybody's working from home. So I was just writing on my hand because I haven't got my bloody notebook, but like, I think there's a good conversation around like how we communicate through social media, and the innovation and change to our working life that could come from this. So we'll remember that one. Maybe we'll talk about that. There's a couple more things I want to touch on. I'm just conscious of time. I don't want to go too long on this. So what are your thoughts on the kind of the support business owners are getting, you know, from Rishi, I think I've pronounced that right, what the kind of support they're announcing? I know, like, you made a very good point, JD, that it varies. You know, everyone's got such a different situation. But generally, I caveat this, I'm not a business owner. You know, I'm sitting pretty. I carry on working from my laptop. I'm still getting paid. You know, for me, this is easy. But for some people, like all three of you, you know, this was probably a bit of a very nerve-wracking time watching that announcement, being like, am I going to get some support or not? Or do you need it, etc.? But I know nearly all of my friends are self-employed, and WhatsApp was silent, you know, social media was silent. Everybody was watching Rishi's announcement.
I mean, from my perspective, I think that sorry to go over old ground, but it's still a bit of a work in progress. But I think what's been done clearly is giving a certain level of comfort to the vast majority of business owners, that they can kind of weather the storm and they'll have a business on the other side of it. Of course, lots of that is coming through, or in reality will come through loans and things like that. But then, you know, look, the whole country is going to have a lot of debt as a result of this, as in, you know, UK PLC. And therefore, you know, the businesses probably should shoulder some of that burden as well. I suppose my concerns are, I'm hearing, you know, that these loans, which are kind of trumpeted as being all singing, all dancing up to 5 million quid at the sort of SME side of things, are not in practice proving quite as easy to get hold of as it appeared. And I wonder whether that will again be something that changes over time, and maybe the rules are being relaxed. I mean, things like personal guarantees and so on and so forth, you know, that's not really the spirit of what I think the Chancellor had in mind. So, you know, I think by the time we speak again on this panel, things will have moved on and perhaps it'll be even more clear. But I mean, I think there's that kind of what's worrying, I think, people is that the bigger businesses are probably going to be secure because they're doing measures for them. The smaller businesses are probably okay. And there is this kind of middle chunk that at the moment probably feel a little bit nervous. So, I mean, I've been speaking with a lot of my clients and they're still in panic mode, to be honest. They're still not really sure, you know, what's going on and whether they're going to have a business at the end of this because they've got loads of costs which kind of haven't been allocated for it yet.
I did hear, I don't know whether Rishi said it or somebody said it, but I was listening to Radio 4 or just, it was when they announced it, and I don't know whether I missed
You're
it.
You're aging yourself, James.
Yeah, and tell me about it. So I was listening to the Radio 4 and they did say, you know, we're going to lose some businesses at the end of this. And I don't know if that was the Chancellor of the Exchequer that said that or somebody else. But I thought that was a big call to announce that on BBC Radio 4 that, you know, we are going to lose some business.
But going back to what David said about communication and clarity, we are going to lose some businesses. Lots of people are going to die. Lots of people are going to be in trouble. Financially and health-wise, and that's unfortunately that's the reality. But I think we need to confront it. I think if I had one criticism of the government, I got the impression that to start with they were trying to sort of shield us all from the reality of this and kind of mollycoddle us a bit. And actually, I think it's better just to be upfront and say, look, we are in the shit here as a country. My first swear word on a podcast, as a country and. and as a world, and you know, we've got to confront it and get through it. From a business perspective, I mean, most businesses that I know of, mine included, don't have anywhere near, you know, a year's worth of free cash to keep going forever. So, you know, the government had to step in and do something, but that unfortunately still doesn't mean that every business is going to be saved.
From a personal point of view, I think I'm probably sitting in the 1% of people that actually are not going to get any support at all. Because I've just decided red laces in the past month or two. I don't have the 3 years of previous to pull in on. The only advice I had from, I listened to the Martin Lewis show last night and I tweeted in some questions. I think the only thing that's available is to go back to my previous employer and ask them to furlough me on the 80%, which a lot of employers are willing to do, but it's down to the individual employers to where they're prepared to. It still gets financed by the government, so there's no cost to them, but that will be the only thing. So I think that's
interesting.
I think from just picking up on Christian's point about the trying to shield us, I think one of the things I've reflected on this is that whenever I'm working within a team, leading teams and directing teams, I often refer back to the transition curve, Fisher's transition curve, based on the change curve. I think you've probably seen that at a macro level, political level with the government, and then also businesses and even families and individuals, as to that kind of denial phase. You know, this just somewhere in China we've not heard of, it's a news item. And then it's become, well, it's coming to Italy. Okay, well, Italy's across the channel. We're an island. We can look at America and kind of decide not to be part of Europe. And then all of a sudden it's landed in here. And I think by saying that we've had some of that denial, the acceptance, and then the coming out of the side. And I think if we look at the social media, the influence, they're seeing a real opportunity here, a real opportunity, where there'll be some legacy businesses. And we heard this week that Primark, for instance, have closed all their stores. They don't have any online business to fall back on, whereas actually a lot of online businesses that can. We've seen a lot of catering businesses, restaurants, even some Michelin-star restaurants deciding to do, you know, home deliveries. So actually, for the first time ever, probably in the UK, well, it's still in the future, your Chinese takeaway, your Indian takeaway, and your Michelin-star takeaway.
I'm quite from a business perspective, and in many other ways, I'm actually quite optimistic about the situation. As in, I think that, you know, we'll come through the other side, and actually, I think there'll be a greater togetherness for within the country and within the world. And I think we'll all feel like we're more in it together, and there'll be less division. I'm hoping that this will help us to kind of settle down the whole Brexit division.
I think that's interesting you should say that, because everyone I spoke to on the phone, I say, how are you? And then everyone goes, yeah, I'm all right, you know, it's a bit difficult. Except when I rang Dave, when I rang David the other day, and I said, hey, David, how are you? And he went, I'm great. I'm brilliant. I'm absolutely amazing. So I think optimism is David's main tool. So you're quite positive about this.
Yeah, I'm positive about life. It doesn't mean I don't have down days, you know, I'm a human being, but positivity allows you to move forward. A saying that is very, what's famous from the Marines is adapt and overcome. And you certainly don't have to be in the military to do that. And that's exactly what these takeaway businesses are doing, Michelin star for takeaways. And I know there's some people and some businesses that are just, they don't have a door to open, you know, for whatever reason, through bad choices or just the way that things are. So I'm not saying that it's the same for every single person, but it's time to stand up in my mind and say, right, what can I do? Where can I help? What can I do to make changes? How can I, what's the things that I want to do in my own life that are going to help and help myself and help others? And I'm very positive. I think everything happens for a reason, and there's a bigger reason for things. And I agree with Christian, you know, don't take away from the seriousness of people losing lives, etc. Of course, I'm well aware of that. But at the end of it, I think there's going to be some real good positives.
I do think there is like a huge moral kind of dilemma with this, in that if you're a business owner, and I'm you know, speaking from assumptions, and I'm conscious we're coming to a time, but you may have a small team, you may have quite a large team, and it's quite well known that, you know, startups and small and medium sized enterprises are very much like families, because they're much smaller businesses. And if it gets to a point where your business is, like you say, David, no doors to kind of open, and you're having to lay staff off, you know, that furlough kind of information of 80% pay from the government must have been a sigh of relief, because that was just before people were getting furloughs anyway, but it was no pay. And that must just be such a horrible moral dilemma to be in as a business owner, to be, you know, pieing your staff off because you've got no other option, but yet, you know, the staff have now got no other option as well. Mm.
Particularly when you juxtapose that with your legal obligation as a company director to act in the best interest of the company and its shareholders. Mm. You know, so you can't, you have to do that, because otherwise you could end up in court, you know, which I know in that scenario probably would never happen, but you do have that, obligation.
That's a really good point. I do find it interesting when you read a lot of the comments, and people are, Facebook's a safe place, isn't it? You know, you can be very judgmental, but so there's a lot of people just, you know, being very hard. And I remember seeing this post of this gentleman was like, we earn basically a lot of money, we furloughed all of our staff. This was before the announcement that furlough is going to be supported. We got so much savings that we're not going to get any financial support, you know, any advice. And he got absolutely destroyed in the comments. Like, you've just told us you've got so much money and all this, and you've pied all your staff off.
I'm sure he was, yeah.
And I was like, mate, what have you just done to yourself? But still, you know, it must have been a hard decision for him. Or I don't know. Difficult.
I think one of the things that will be interesting is around this is kind of that there are some companies that we've, you know, but both larger companies like Mike Ashley's crew, and also things like shops and pharmacies, where there's kind of a bit of profiteering going on. And I do think that, you know, crisis management 101 is think about the long term, not just the short term. And so I do think there'll be potentially some quite big fundamental shifts, and some of these companies that are seen as profiteering off of this are probably going to lose custom in the long run, albeit they might make some money in the short term. So that, you know, that probably would be a good example. That company's reputation, you know, by anybody that saw that is probably going to suffer.
I do think this is the time as well for social media to kind of come into its own rights, and you're seeing a lot of nice stories out there, but yeah, and that probably be my main intention of this panel, is to just kind of voice ideas and stuff like that. And like you say, David, it's that time to kind of stand up, you know, stand up and say, I'm struggling, I need some help, or stand up and say, I'm fine, but I can help, or whatever it is. So that,
let's kind of bring
this to an end. And if you were to kind of just offer any kind of advice, or if you've got one crazy idea for someone that runs a business, like, I don't know, food delivery or whatever, then just use this as an opportunity to say goodbye with an idea or some advice or whatever, and we'll come back next week. Let's start with Jonathan. We haven't heard from you for a bit.
I say it's all about people. It's all about relationships. We need to find new ways to build relationships and maintain our relationships as well. Technology is going to be the key enabler to that. So it's a real opportunity for all of us to become technology savvy or social media savvy, so that we can take part in that. Because at the moment, we're, like you say, week one into this, month three into this, and you've got people who are not technology savvy. They're going to miss out. They're going to miss out on the connectivity. They're going to miss out on what's going on, because the news programs on a daily basis aren't going to be able to keep up with the pace of what's going on. So it's all about people. But I think how that comes to life is going to be digital, and it's now.
It's quite an interesting, just quickly on that, Jonathan, there's quite an interesting post I shared earlier, which you should have a look at, I think. But basically, a project manager, it looks like a project manager from like a construction business, basically like wrote a very nasty post about safety professionals saying, where are you now? You know, you were walking around telling us to put our hard hats on and stuff. Where are you now? You know, this is a global. And I struggled to argue against him. Granted, you know, there is an argument to say safety professionals haven't got that much control. We influence more than we make decisions. But I think it was a fair point. You should have a look at that and read the comments. But it's quite interesting. David, any kind of tips, tricks, or advice?
Yeah, for me, it's quite simply focus on what you do want, not what you don't want. Look in the direction that you want to go into, not in the direction that you don't want to go into. Think about things that help you move forward, not the other way around. Don't ignore the situation you're in, and don't stick your head in the sand, obviously, but tell a different story and start to look and think, where can I move to? How can I help myself? How can I help other people? How can I move forward in this situation that I'm in? That's what I would say.
I like that. Christian?
That's good. I think... Nothing specific from a business perspective, but I think what I would hope that comes out of this, as I said, is a bit of a coming together. But I think everybody that's got a bit more time now, whether they're furloughed or whether they've got a bit of a lull in business or whatever it might be, I think actually it's a really great opportunity to take advantage of that time, albeit in bad circumstances, to do some personal development and some introspection and some goal setting and you know, work on where you want to get to and what your skills are, and whether that's digital or whatever it might be, or relationships with people. So I think, you know, I guess it's a mindset thing, but trying to turn it into as much of a positive as you can. I think that's the message I'd like to get out there.
I like that. The day after the announcement of the kind of lockdown in quotations, my friend put a post on Facebook saying, you know, thanks for the 3 week holiday to spend with my kids and my wife, Boris, I'm gonna make the most of it. And he's literally just picked his guitar up again. He borrowed some recording equipment off of me, and he's just playing guitar, playing with his kids, you know, and he's loving life. Like, every time I text him, I'm like, how are you? He's like, yeah, this is awesome. Don't get me wrong, I did say to him, you must have some money stuffed in your mattress or something like that. And he said, yeah, I've always kind of saved for, you know, a rainy day just in case, something like that, which is very smart. And some people didn't do that. I understand that. So he's very, you know, in a luxury position. But it was a nice post to see, you know, this kind of my friend just saying, I'm just going to take a 3 week holiday with my little girls and my wife. It was nice. On that very positive note, then, we'll leave it there. All the links and stuff for government advice for everybody is in the description. We will also link to all three of these gentlemen's websites in the description as well. So Jonathan Redlaces, David from DRM, and Christian from... We'll link both for Christian, Slip Safety Services and Decontamination UK Cleaning. Sorry, I got that wrong, didn't I?
That's all right.
Because you're greedy, you get two links. And with all the spare time that everyone's got, they can obviously start listening to Rebranded Safety podcast. We have quite a big backlog of at least a year, and all three of these fine gentlemen have been on. So we'll come back next week. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay.
Pleasure. Stay safe, everyone.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Let us know if you did on LinkedIn, on YouTube, wherever you're listening, on the podcast. Let us know in the comments, you know, how you're getting on through this. You know, like David and I said, this is the time to stand up and ask for help. You've got four amazing people in this podcast, I speak, you know, for myself, that are willing to help you. You know, send me a message, ring me up. I'm happy to just have a chat with you and help you out in these kind of crazy times. So, stand up, make yourself known. If you want to hear more of this, or you want us to discuss a project or a specific subject, let us know and we will discuss it. If you've got any questions, let us know as well, and we'll bring them up in the podcast. Like I said at the beginning, all the government websites and NHS websites are in the description below, and all the links to the gentlemen's websites are also in the description below. Any kind of posts that I might have mentioned, or a couple of interesting LinkedIn posts that I've come across with around COVID, I've linked in the description as well to try and help you guys out. I will see you next Friday. Remember, so this, you're listening on Monday, the podcast is going to come out this Friday. So for me, it's next Friday, but for you right now, it's this Friday. So tune in on Friday. If you've got any questions, let us know and we'll answer them live on the podcast. Catch you later. Safe.
Hey everyone, just a quick message from our affiliate program. Using DRM's online course, you can learn to move away from feelings of anger and frustration and get yourself some lasting positive change. Click the link in the description of this episode to get yourself a discount. And thank you for listening to Rebranded Safety.